Well, that's a good segue into my teaching. So, this morning we're going to talk about the seven redemptive names of God. What in the world does that mean? Well, when God wants to know us. And he wants to know us in a personal way, too. And quite often in his words, he will use titles or names to refer to himself so that we can understand him better. For example, there is the name or the title El Shaddai. This means Almighty God. He is a God who is an all-powerful God with every resource for every believer. That's El Shaddai in the Bible. Another name that he goes by is Elohim. Elohim is the great creator, God in his majesty and authority. What we're going to talk about today is Jehovah. And in the Bible, he has seven names associated with Jehovah. Jehovah is his name in his relationship to what he has formed, made, and created. Who do you think that could be? That's us. And that's his relationship with those that believed in him all throughout the Bible. You know, these names are just as alive today as they were when he originally gave them. They're just as living because they represent who God is. And they represent who he is personally to us. So in looking at these names today, this is God's love toward you. This is what we're going to look at. We're going to look at each one of these seven names where they originally occurred, their first occurrence, okay, in the Bible. In biblical research, that's really important because that first usage shows the greatest significance of that term, that name, that expression. So let's go ahead. I also want to say that these redemptive names lived in the life of Jesus Christ. He exemplified the nature of his heavenly Father, and they also are in us by Holy Spirit. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's jump into the first name here. You'll see I put some handouts out on the chairs just so you can follow along with me with the names. And for those people that are calling in and are remote, I'll spell the names for you, okay, because some of them are mouthful a little bit. So the first one is Jehovah Jireh. This literally means the Lord sees and he provides. And its first occurrence takes place in Genesis chapter 22. This is about Abraham. And at this point, he has a son that was promised to him, Isaac. In Genesis 22:1-2, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt." That word tempt is proof, not tempt. God doesn't tempt us. "To prove Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee." Okay, let's go to verses 11 through 13. "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven." So here he prepared everything for this offering. He's taken his son. By the way, his son is not a child at this point. His son is 30 years old. So not only is, here's the deal, Abraham was believing God. Look how he believed God for a son to begin with. And now here he is, God has asked him to offer his son. You know, he believes in God. He believes that God answers prayer and is his deliverer. He believes that in offering his son, God will raise him again from the dead. That's what he believes. And stop and think about his son, 30 years old, going along with his father. I mean, stop and think about it. That's how much he trusted his father. That's how much he trusted the God that his father believed in. So in verse 11 it says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, the young man, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead, or in the place of his son. And then in verse 14 it says, And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, it shall be provided. That's what that name means. What does that mean to us today? I mean, we don't have this great occurrence like Abraham did, but doesn't it say that he's even counted the hairs on our head? He sees. He sees our life. He sees our needs. He sees our wants, and he provides. And he's very proud of that because he loves us. He provides for us. The next word we're going to look at is Jehovah Rapha. By the way, Jehovah Jireh is J-I-R-E-H, for those that are listening, okay? The next one is Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. This is the Lord that healeth. Now let's go to Exodus 15. In Exodus 15, let me give you some background here. So in this particular occurrence, Moses has delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And by the way, when they're leaving Egypt, they're about the size of a small city, a lot of people. And guess what? There's not one feeble knee among any of those people. And who did that? God did that. So they were fully prepared for the journey. So here they are. They get to the Red Sea, and God separates the Red Sea so that they can go across. So here they are going along, and they're getting thirsty. Well, this is where this particular occurrence takes place. 15, verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. This is Moses. Which, when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth. So here he has delivered the children of Israel, right? and they've been murmuring, and they've been fighting against him. And you know what he's actually saying here? Stop fighting. Let me heal you. Let me take care of you. That's what he's saying in this occurrence. He's the God of healing, mentally, physically, and spiritually, every aspect of our life. He takes care of us and he heals us. And that's what he's saying in this first occurrence. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth us. Let's take a look at the third occurrence. Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I, the Lord our banner or our canopy. Let's go to Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. Here's a story about Moses and they're fighting the Amalekites. And it says in verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So it's up and down, up and down. And he's like, okay, we've got to make this a little bit more stable here. He says, but Moses' hands were weary, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. All day long, Moses was holding up his hands so that they could be conquerors. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. What's going on here is when Moses is putting up his hands, it was representative that God was over the situation in protection and victory. And it was like a canopy when he raised his hands. And that's what that meant, that canopy. You know, it's the same way for us today. He's a canopy over our lives. He's a protection over our lives. Just like it was back then, the first time. God doesn't change. He still protects us, and it's like a covering over us. You know, it's interesting, in the Jewish weddings, they, during the ceremony, they actually get married under a canopy, even to this day. And to them, it represents that God's presence is there and his protection is there. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting that even today they follow that custom. The next one is Jehovah Shalom. We've heard of Shalom, right? It means peace, right? It says, it literally means the Lord is our peace. Let's take a look at Judges chapter 6. And Judges chapter 6, verse 21. This is about Gideon. Gideon was really, in his eyes, a nobody. I mean, he didn't have a very elaborate background. didn't come from a great family or anything like that, and yet God is calling him. And it's interesting what transpires. So in Judges 6:21, and the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was... Let's back up to verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. He's speaking to Gideon. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He's speaking to Gideon. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? He's really questioning himself here. Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. I mean, Gideon can't believe this. You know, do you have the right guy here? You know, he's really questioning God. And so he's asking for a sign. And he said, for if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid. This is his present, okay? And unleavened cakes and an ephah of flour and flesh he put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. He presented all the stuff he prepared. And here is this gentleman sitting there waiting patiently to receive it. But it wasn't just anyone. It was the angel of God. And he said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire when he touched it with his staff out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel, he said, alas, O Lord, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. God must be really serious here. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. So, you know what's really, really happening here is Gideon is afraid. Here God has called him to do this great and marvelous thing, and he's like, me, God? Are you sure you've got the right one? And he's full of fear, and that's why he's asking for all these signs. But you know what God says to him? Fear not, for I am with you. And you know, that's a beautiful thing. You see that all throughout the Bible, especially in these battles. Fear not, I am with you. And the whole significance of that is when you know that God is with you, you have peace. And that's the shalom. And it reminds me of something that Ken Petty wrote that meant a lot to my life. He said, if you practice the presence of God in your life, you won't have fear. And you know, there's been times in my life where I've had fear. And I mean, there's been times where I've gone, God is with me, God is with me, you know. But that peace always comes over me when I do that. And that's what God is saying here. I am with you, be at peace. So that's what he is saying to us today, even. The fifth one is Jehovah Raha. It's R-A-A-H. The Lord is my shepherd. Guess where that is? This is such a beautiful record of God's heart, really, of God's heart for us. He's a shepherd when David writes this, and he's a shepherd now. Let's read it together, Psalm 23. Jehovah Raha. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. So we see that beautiful symbolism of a shepherd. And we see that God still shepherds us today. Do we know who the great shepherd was? Jesus Christ. And he was the great shepherd because he laid down his life for the sheep. And you know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, referring to us now, okay? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That word reconcile is actually shepherd. God shepherded us back to himself through Jesus Christ. And now we have the ministry of reconciliation, which is the ministry of a shepherd. Isn't it beautiful how this follows through all throughout the Bible? So the Lord is our shepherd. The next one is number 6, Jehovah. Boy, good luck pronouncing this. It's T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. How do you say it? Sit canoe. Okay, thank you. It says, and it means the Lord our righteousness. Let's take a look at Jeremiah 23. You know, Jeremiah had a tough life. I mean, you know, after Jeremiah in the Bible's Lamentations, you know, I mean, he had a tough life. But he never gave up standing for God. And when Jeremiah was prophesying and living, Israel was really abandoning God. In fact, Jeremiah was safer with the Gentiles at that time. Seriously, they took better care of them than the Israelites. And at this time, Israel was divided. The 12 tribes were divided. The 10 tribes were north. And then the 2 tribes were south, Judah and Benjamin. And he hung out with that tribe in the south. And in Jeremiah 23 and verse 1, he's actually talking about how the leaders of Israel treated God's people. And it says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evils of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them." By the way, this is all prophetic. It's future. because at this point, Israel was in no place to repent. They were not repenting. So this is future that Jeremiah is speaking of. And they shall fear, verse 4, no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days will come. The days will come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. That word branch is actually root. It's referring to Jesus Christ. He sprung out of the root of David. And a king shall reign and prosper. This is all referring to Jesus Christ in the future, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. So it's because of God's righteousness that he's doing this, that he planned all of this. And Jesus Christ was the righteousness of God. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. So we see this is actually the Lord our righteousness, is Jesus Christ's name. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, we've been given that righteousness. It says, 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made or became unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Literally, that spirit that God gave us when we became born again is his righteousness. His righteousness lives in us. And so you see this this Jehovah, I'm not going to pronounce it. Again, you see the fulfillment of it in us. So that's beautiful. The Lord, our righteousness. And finally, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Let's look at Ezekiel 48. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet, and a lot of this book of Ezekiel is prophecy, which means it's future. And so, again, he is pretty disappointed with Israel. And that's why he has written this, and that's why it's prophetic. You know what? This is pretty involved, and I'm not going to read it, but I want to emphasize that it is for the future, for the after the return of Christ and the resurrection of the just, when Israel is all brought back together again, and God sets everything in order. That's what Ezekiel 48 is referring to. But here's the thing. Let's look at verse 30 anyway. Ezekiel 48, 30. You know what? I'm sorry. It's verse 35. And he's referring again to some of the measurements of this city, this gathering of the saints. It said it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There. So I didn't read it, but you know what it's about. This is the significance. God, he wanted to be present in the lives of the people, Israel. And they kind of failed him. And he couldn't be present. He couldn't be present with them because of their unbelief. But in this future he's talking about, he will go and be present there. Well, it's interesting. Where is he present now? He was present with Jesus Christ, right? He's present with us. And it's really neat, because of that Holy Spirit we have, he's present with us. And that literally means, let me find the definition here. So in other words, this reference actually means that God is going someplace and he's going to stay there and rest. And it says, it denotes the fact that Jehovah has gone thither and rest there with all the blessing, with all the peace, security, and glory of his abiding presence. So you see, in Ezekiel, that's what he wanted. That's what he was looking forward to in the future. He found it in his son, Jesus Christ, and he gave it to us. We have all the blessings, all the peace, all the security, and he has decided to come and to rest in us. And that's what that name, Jehovah Shammah, means. So we've looked at the seven redemptive names of Jesus Christ. I don't know if I mentioned redemption, or to redeem means to bring back something that is lost. And in these names, you actually see in each name where he's doing that. He wants to bring us back to himself. We are his creation, formed, made, and created, and it was screwed up. And he's saying through these names, my people need me. You know, they need me to take care of them. They need me to love them. And in all seven of these names, we see that heart from God. All the qualities of the seven redemptive names of God are seen in the life of Jesus Christ. And for us, it is God in Christ in us. We've got it all. All seven characteristics of the redemptive names of God dwell within us. By renewing our minds and with the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our lives, let's let God love us. Let's not fight against him. Let us love him. And like it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So let's let that love of God live in our lives. So thank you very much. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Father, we are just so thankful and humbled by what you've done for us, how you've shown us through your word who you are to us and who you are to those that love you. We thank you for that everlasting love, that everlasting care. We thank you for what you did in your son, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for each and every person here, and each and every person that is calling in, that your blessing is upon their life, just like you showed in your names. So we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Sandy. That was a great, great job. So we have refreshments in the back. Thank you, Dan and Rebecca. And it's also available to sign up for refreshments anytime that you want. You feel so inspired. And thanks for all the Facebook people for checking in, whatever it is that you do. So, see you next week.